lived out with peace and joy. Now, in this section, in the section we have to be focusing on now, we have a contrast here. We are not going to talk about much about living according to the flesh now, but rather those who live according to the Spirit. There is here a characteristic and a consequence. Characteristic of those people who are living according to the Spirit of God. And what comes to them? Paul is, first of all, giving us the characteristic of a man, a woman, a boy or a girl who is a believer. The unbeliever walks after the flesh. The believer, look at verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But here it says that the characteristic of the believer is that they are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And he uses in the course of these verses a variety of synonyms, variety of words to express this. He talks about being in the Spirit. He talks about Spirit dwelling in you. He talks about the Spirit of Christ. And he talks about Christ dwelling in you. And they're all linked with one another. They're speaking of the same things. We are in the Spirit. The Spirit is in us. We are in a right relationship with Christ. And Christ, by His Spirit, dwells in us. Here's the characteristic. That's the way a Christian is. The man or woman who is a believer has the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, living, dwelling in them. And Paul's using a word for dwelling that means home. The Spirit of God has His home within our hearts. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit, he says in another place. So the Holy Spirit has come, he says. He's come and made home in our hearts, in your life, in your soul. The Holy Spirit has made a home in our hearts, and that's amazing. Now, the Apostle Paul wants to draw this characteristic. This is the characteristic of the believer, that you are in the Spirit, or the Spirit is in you. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to be in the Spirit? Well, let me say first of all that what it doesn't mean, there are people who talk about being in the Spirit, meaning being in a certain mood, being in a certain mindset. Are you in the Spirit of the thing? Well, that's not what it's talking about. It doesn't mean that you're in the mood for something that you like. It has nothing to do with feelings that you have come to some sort of a attitude that you feel the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about that. He's not saying here how you can tell a Christian from a non-Christian, a believer from a non-believer. Christians have moments in their lives when, yes, they are in, we could say, in the Spirit for some form of outward religion. They are in the mood for the Bible. They are in the mood for prayer. They are in the mood for worship in God's house. They are looking forward to it, we could say. But that's not what he's saying here. He's not saying being in the mood for prayer, being in the mood for reading our Bibles and studying our Bibles. That's not what he's saying. He's saying a characteristic of a man or woman who is a believer, a child of God, is that they are in the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in them. The third person of the Holy Trinity dwells. He has made a home, if you're a Christian, in you. And that's staggering. And I wonder if you have had anyone who has been a very important person, very famous person, visiting your home, that you have, they have come to you. And yet we are told here that the third person of the Holy Trinity, God, He is the one who has decided to make your heart, make your soul his own home. Can you understand that? Can you take that in? We cannot. And yet the scripture says this. That's what it means to be a Christian. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what it says there, that if we don't have the Holy Spirit, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So a Christian has the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit takes us, we are his possession, and also in an amazing way, he is ours as well. Now, the Apostle Paul will expand on this. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart, in your soul? What does it mean to be in the Spirit? He's going to say a number of things. He's going to say, for example, in verse 13, it means that he's going to insist that you mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's what it means to be in the Spirit, that you engage in this rigorous and deathly engagement with indwelling sin. That, yes, the power of sin has been broken, but the remaining sin is there. The power of sin is broken, but you are still in the presence of sin. And so he talks about, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So he speaks about that. He's going to say in verse 14, that if the Spirit of God dwells in you, then you are led by the Holy Spirit. You are not stumbling around in the dark, but actually the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you and takes your hand in this dark world. In other words, you look to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not some sort of emotional thing merely, or it is not something that depends on our feelings, but where has the Spirit of God given his word? It is, in essence, the Scriptures. The Scriptures, and then the Spirit of God at different times powerfully comes and instructs our minds and guides us and reveals to us things that and reminds us things from the Scriptures that helps us to be guided along. He gives us insights into things to be guided along. And so, yes, the Bible comes to life. We look to the Scriptures. We look, and as we are immersed in the Word of God, the Spirit applies these things and moves our hearts to know the mind of His mind. And then in the next verse, verse 15, he's going to say that if the Spirit of God dwells in you, he's going to witness with your spirit, and he's going to enable you to cry out, Abba, Father. You realize that you're a son or a daughter of the Most Holy God, and you call him Abba, Father. You're going to speak to the only God there is, and you're going to call him Father. Again, can you understand it? This is mind-boggling. And all of that is to come. But here, in these verses, what does it mean to say that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, or that we are in the Spirit? You notice the way that the Apostle Paul interchanges in these verses. In verse 9 and 10, he refers to being in the Spirit, and then he speaks about the Spirit of Christ, and that's a little hint as to what the ministry and the function of the Holy Spirit essentially is. Yes, he leads us to engage with the indwelling sin. Yes, of course. Yes, he guides us in our lives. Yes, he makes his word precious and illuminates the word of God to us in our dark times. Yes, he witnesses with your spirits, enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. But first and foremost, he is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and that says two things to us. When it says, is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, it says in verse 9, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him, his. First of all, it says that there isn't a different gospel. You know, the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the Holy Spirit. There are some people who say, well, the Apostle Paul talks about my gospel as if his gospel was different to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Holy Spirit. Paul isn't saying, you see, that you can be a believer and you can come into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but not have the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit can come at a later period in your life. There's a whole variety of views in one form or another that relates to the work of the Spirit purely to a work of sanctification, a work of holiness. You can be a Christian and live this sort of nominal Christian life, and then at a certain point in your life, because of a crisis maybe, because of or they would say because of certain baptism of the Holy Spirit, this second work of the Spirit comes and makes that individual his home. Until then, yes, a person believes, a person is converted, but they don't have the Holy Spirit yet. We have to wait for this. Until then, you're a second-class Christian, we are told. Paul isn't saying that here. He's saying to us that every believer, every single Christian, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who trusts in Christ, every single believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. True, you may experience different levels and degrees of assurance, the Lord drawing near you. We will talk about that in the remainder of chapter 8. We'll address that on several occasions over these studies. And some of you, I know, do struggle, and I know people in our congregation do struggle with the sense of assurance, and there are times we go through, all of us, we go through our life and we wonder, am I really a Christian? That's a natural thing. There are people who have a very sensitive conscience, or there are Christians who fall into certain sins, and that becomes a discouraging thing. And the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about these things, to encourage you. But right here, he wants to make this point very clear. No matter what your experience, no matter what level of assurance you may currently be experiencing, every single believer has the Holy Spirit. And he is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Because the main function of the Holy Spirit is to draw attention, not to himself, but to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus Christ. You might have gone past certain buildings, certain great buildings in the city or outside. You're driving on the motorway, and you are going down M5, and you see the Tyndall Monument from a great distance. You will see it if it is at night. It is lit with very powerful bulbs. And you might at one point have gone to such buildings that have been lit by and which one of you came back home and said, weren't they lovely bulbs? Were they not great lights? Or you would say, that's a wonderful building. Look at this structure of the building. How beautiful it is in this dark night. But hidden in the bushes, there are these projector lights, these powerful lights. You don't think about those lights. You don't go and observe the bulbs, do you? No, we say, what a magnificent building. And it is in this way that the Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. The Lord says, he will testify of me. He will testify of me, the Lord Jesus said. The Holy Spirit is Christ's personal representative agent. The Holy Spirit is the vicar of Christ. He is the one after Christ and the third person of the Godhead. And when he, the Lord Jesus ascended up on high, 6 weeks later, he sent the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of Christ. He draws us to Jesus Christ. He makes us think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds us of the gospel and what it means to us, that gospel that saved us. And we are saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And this joy that comes when we think about those things and when we hear the words of the love of Christ, and it thrills our hearts. Who is doing that? It's the Holy Spirit lighting Jesus Christ for us. I read about this Norwegian explorer, Roald Amundsen, his name was. He was an explorer of the northern and southern poles. He discovered the magnetic meridian, and on one of his expeditions, he'd been gone for a long time. His wife was back in Norway. And he had with him certain pigeons, some home pigeons. And what he did, he released a pigeon from time to time. And this pigeon would fly back home and would be flying over the house. And then his wife would see and say, "He's well. He's well. He's still alive." And the Holy Spirit does that. He is the characteristic of a believer. This is it. They are in the Spirit. The Spirit dwells in them. Now, Paul says there are consequences as well. And he tells us in verse 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin." This is the consequence. "But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if Christ be in you," he says. And notice what it says, if Christ be in you. If Christ be in you, and then later it says, if the Holy Spirit is in you. In verse 11, "And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," the same thing. That's the question that you need to be asking yourself. Every one of us, is the Spirit in me? Is Jesus Christ in me right now? Because if Jesus Christ is in me, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What's the consequence of being in the Spirit? Basically life. We have eternal life. Now, I have to say, verse 10 is a very difficult text. Commentators have difficulty. There are so many different kinds of meaning for this passage. It is not in the text. It is not an easy passage. And so you read one faithful commentator, they say something, they stress certain point. Then you read another one, they stress certain point, and they all seem to be very, very plausible. But let me give you what I think is helpful interpretation of this passage. What does the Apostle Paul mean by saying that the body is dead because of sin and the Spirit is alive because of righteousness? He could be referring back to Romans chapter 6. He could be saying that the body is dead to the reigning power of sin, a theme that he expands and elaborates on in chapter 6. But I rather think that is not what he's saying here, that he's referring to physical death. He's saying that if Jesus Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be in the Spirit? It means that even though our physical body is dying, it is dying because of sin, the original sin, yet we are alive. We are alive. And we are alive because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Because of the righteousness of Christ that has been now revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Because of that finished work of Jesus Christ that the Spirit has applied into our lives. And because of the active and passive obedience of Christ, we are alive. The body is dying. It's dying every day. And the question for us, the challenging question, are as we know we are dying, are we ready? Thomas Goodwin, one of the Puritans in the 17th century, he was the Chancellor of Oxford University, and he was interviewing students, prospective students, and Goodwin, he was a pastor, and he would ask pastoral questions of these students, and these students, they were very young in those days, 14, 15 years of age, applying to study at that university. And he asked one of the students who had come a serious question. Are you ready to die? He said. Are you ready to die? And he quoted this text to him. Are you alive in Jesus Christ? If you are not, then why are you applying to become a minister of Jesus Christ? And he says, the point is, are you ready to die? And that boy, we would say boy, for them, it was 13 upwards, was a young man. And he ran out. He ran away. Wouldn't come to university. It's a challenge, isn't it? The body is dead or dying because of sin. Because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, now we are alive. The Spirit has made us alive. But we were once in union under the headship of Adam. We were under the union with Adam. And sin entered into the world, and death by sin, Paul says. But in Jesus Christ, by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, because of the Holy Spirit, He makes His home in you. Then you are alive. It has nothing to do with your feelings, but it's to do with the fact that Christ has made you live, and the Spirit has applied the life of Jesus Christ. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Paul goes on to make another consequence of this. Not only are we alive now, but we shall be alive hereafter. We will these bodies will rise. These bodies will be alive. Do you notice that twice the Apostle Paul draws the conclusion that from the fact that the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, and He is the Spirit of Christ who raised Him from the dead. And twice in verses 10 and 11, he repeats himself. He says this, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. This same Spirit, Paul is saying, who dwells in you right now is this that very same Spirit who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. And He will give you life. He gives life to your mortal bodies. You are living now. These bodies are functioning, living unto God, unto His glory now. But there is going to be a day that same Spirit will raise your dead bodies back to life. This is the gospel, friends, that we are saved not through any effort, not through any kind of merit of our own. He doesn't talk about anything that you or I have done. No, he's talking about the work of the Spirit. We are saved entirely upon the finished work of Jesus Christ and by faith in Him. And when Jesus saves us, when He rescues us, when He is our Savior and He gives us life, life now and life in the world to come. And it's that very Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead, He is dwelling within us. It's amazing. What are you living for today? What goes on through your mind in this past hour? What is it that consumes you? You think about people in this world, you think about people who have so much, you think about famous people, actors, politicians, musicians, singers, and then at times you read something from them, and when they have gone into the room, they are looking at all the things that they have gained, all the things that they have won, and they ask themselves, is this all? Is this all to life? Is this all? Is this the meaning of my life? Is this what I have been living for? But my friends, these people with all their things, these singers and musicians and their songs, and these politicians that make great statements, and as if we don't follow them, the world will come to an end. These people, at the end, all that work, all of that possession will one day vanish away. This world will be rolled up and it will be gone. But that work of the Holy Spirit in us, it remains. That life of Christ in us through the Spirit of God, it remains. Here is the characteristic of the man or woman who lives according to the flesh, who dies with the most toys, as it were, that they have won. Here's the characteristic of the man or woman who is in the Spirit. They say, I don't care about these toys. I don't care about these things that I have. But only for Jesus Christ. Because He, the Lord Jesus, has promised me life, eternal life. Life that can never, ever be taken away. And the Holy Spirit has assured me in His Word that I will have this. And I have it. In 1631, Robert Bruce, one of the great Covenanters in Scotland, he'd been sentenced to death for preaching the gospel. On the morning of his execution, his daughter, it was the way they did it, that they would say, what does he want that morning for breakfast? And all he wanted was eggs. So his daughter made him eggs. And she cooked him an egg as he had requested. And he said it was so nice. He wanted to have another one. But then he stopped and said, no, I won't have another one. I've had my breakfast with you, my daughter, and I will have my supper with Jesus Christ later. That was his attitude. And I thought that was wonderful. This assurance that the life that Jesus Christ has given is going to remain after death. His body will die, but his soul will continue on, and he still has the life of Christ, and he has that assurance. Who told him that? Who assured him of that? It's the same Spirit bears witness. And that's why you read accounts of martyrs and people who are sacrificing themselves for Jesus Christ and being persecuted, and somehow they manage, somehow they are able to rejoice and praise God and pray and encourage others. Why? It's the Spirit of God giving them that life and joy and peace. It's the same Spirit that dwelt in Jesus Christ is in the saints. Robert Bruce knew that how to live, and he knew how to die. So are we ready? Do we know how to live? Are we alive in Jesus Christ through the Spirit? If we are, then also we will be ready at the point of death. It could come this evening. It could come later on in the week. For here have we no continuing city, we read in Hebrews 13:14, but we seek one to come. The scripture talks in Hebrews 11, verse 10, of Abraham and what he was looking for. It says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Well, who made him desire those things? Who made him look beyond this earth and that plot that the Lord had promised him? It says he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you have this confidence? Well, the Spirit of Christ was dwelling in him too. Do we have that assurance right now? To be able to say from a deep-seated, heartfelt conviction, I am in the Spirit. I am in union and communion with Jesus Christ. I have life. I live now. I have this life now. I will have life on the day of judgment. I am not under condemnation at all. And that life will last forever. And all because of Jesus, because of what he has done for me, and the Spirit has applied these things to me. And Christ says to us, well, come as you are to me, and you will not stay as you are. I give you life, eternal life, and I will send you my Holy Spirit. Well, maybe you are with a great load of care this evening. You don't know which way to turn this evening. In providence of God, your life may be breaking in some ways, breaking apart. Well, there is good news. There is good news. The presence of the Holy Spirit with his people. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The fact that the Spirit of Christ is with us and in us and we are in him. And so we are to look to the Lord Jesus. Look to him only. Look to him now, day by day. Cast yourself entirely upon him. Let him send you his Holy Spirit and make his home in you. And then you will experience day by day what we are reading here. Your body is dying and it's showing its signs. It is pulling in the way of death. It is being tempted in various ways. Your flesh is pulling towards things that are not helpful or ungodly. But the Spirit of God, if it's dwelling in you, he keeps you. He blesses you. He gives you life. You have life now and that forever. Well, may the Lord help us in these things, to apply these things to ourselves and to rejoice and think, I'm not here for myself. I'm not chasing after even some mystical experience of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is constantly illuminating Jesus Christ for me. And so I want to, as he enlightens Jesus Christ, I want to follow him, get closer to the Lord Jesus. Because the closer you are to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a sign that the Holy Spirit is closer to you and working deeply in your life. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, what shall we say, O God? We look at ourselves and we think there dwells no good thing. And yet we look again and we think there dwells the Holy Spirit within. We bless thee and give thee thanks that the only good thing that we have is because of what the Holy Spirit has done in applying Jesus Christ, giving us life. And Lord, therefore, all the glory comes to thee, not to us. And at the end, O Lord, we lift up our cups to thee, praising thy name. Thou dost fill all our lives with the life of Christ. And we bless thee, O Holy Spirit, that thou hast come in such a humble fashion to dwell us who are yet in need of sanctification. Lord, bless then these things to our hearts. May our lives demonstrate the glory of thy Son, that the Holy Spirit will do such a work in us that Jesus Christ will be seen more and more. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we'll think about the words of the hymn number 2. Come Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire, let us thine influence prove, source of the old prophetic fire, fountain of light and love. We'll keep our seats and meditate upon these words.